And what is the key interaction that we're looking at is going to be the diversity by fear interaction, because we want to see if diversity affects the non-lethal interactions of these enemies. You can see that it is indeed significant, and qualitatively this relationship remained consistent across the two trials. Diversity did not appear to affect or interact with the lethal component, as you can see here. We did have this interaction term pop up as significant, and so I just need to explain that in the first trial there was more predation than in the second trial, but it was the same for both the mono and the polycultures. Right, so what you're looking at here is these are the final plant biomass means. We have all three factors represented. In the left panel we have the absence of the lethal component, the right panel the presence of the lethal component, and then the presence absence of fear. And the dark green is the high diversity enemy assemblages, and light green is low diversity. What I want you to notice is that in the absence of fear, we see little separation between high and low diversity, but in the presence of fear, a bit more. And again, in the presence of the lethal component, very little separation between high and low, but in the presence of the fear component, more separation. So I think you can kind of see a trend here. And if we collapse these two panels into one, we get to look at the interaction plot between diversity and fear. And this is the interaction term I showed you moments ago, but you can see that there's more plant biomass in the presence of the high diversity enemy assemblage, and we get good separation, but only in the presence of the fear component. So the density or the diversity effect is only borne out in the presence of the fear component. So what we were just looking at were indirect effects. Now we're going to look at the direct effects between predator and prey, because these form the basis for the indirect effects. So here we have the effects of high or low diversity on caterpillar density, and you can see that between the high diversity and the low diversity enemy treatments, there really was very little indication that one of these two levels of species richness differed in terms of caterpillar mortality. They killed caterpillars equally well. So that probably doesn't explain the diversity effect that we saw in the plant biomass. But if we look at the interaction plot for displacements, we see that in the presence of the fear component, we see tremendous separation between high and low diversity, but in the absence, no separation. You can kind of see that this mirrors what we were finding in the plant biomass data. So this really does seem like a likely explanation for the diversity effect we saw in the plants, in the plant biomass. So revisiting our central question, does predator species diversity amplify non-lethal predator effects? It appears so. The short answer would be yes. Predator diversity amplified the indirect effects of predators on plants, and this effect was driven primarily by increased induction of anti-predator prey behaviors, but not so much by increased prey mortality. And I think some of the implications for this work is that complementarity among predator species may very commonly amplify fear effects. And these effects can be propagated independently of changes in herbivore density. So if you kind of imagine you have landscapes of fear, which are rather ubiquitous, you can have no changes in abundances of predators and prey, but profound changes in community structure driven mostly or to some degree by non-lethal interactions. And I'll need to thank the folks in my lab and the good folks at the Tukey Research Orchard and our two funding sources, and I'll take questions. Thanks. Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. So I need to repeat the question. The question was, the essence of the question was, interactions among predators very likely may inform the phenomena that we observed relative to poly or monocultures. Yes, I what I needed to do to maintain the experimental conditions is replace any enemy that either died due to unknown causes or died due to inter-guild predation. I'm certain that intra-guild predation was occurring, but I had to, in order to maintain all four species in any given cage, any enemy eaten had to be replaced. But I really do think that part of the explanation for why there were more displacements, more displaced caterpillars in the polycultures, was that the heterospecifics were less affected by other heterospecifics, as opposed to conspecifics. There seemed to be, the conspecifics were on the plants less in the monocultures than the heterospecifics were on plants in the polycultures. Does that make sense? So I think possibly the polycultures had less negative effects of enemy-enemy interaction. Yes? Yeah, you have cut to the heart of a huge question that I've sort of been exploring for a while now. It's going to be very context dependent. Prey that have access to complete information, high prey densities, you're going to see huge fear effects. One of the examples I like to think of is, you know, you have a meadow full of elk, and the cougar, appropriately enough, emerges, and if the herd is 10 head, then the relief that the meadow experiences is relief from the herbivory of 10 elk. But what if the herd was 40 and all 40 leave? The fear effect, the effect size, scales up tremendously. But it's a matter of the information. So invertebrates are obviously different than vertebrates. So what you're asking, I think it would just be hugely variable. I don't know. Yes. There are subtle differences that I've seen. The main, these caterpillars tend to feed on the leaf underside. And so whether it's a lady beetle that gets too close or the antennation of the wasp, they're very quick to throw themselves from the leaves. But there is evidence, a number of studies have shown that, in fact, a great one by Castellanos and Barbosa, these prey, potential prey, modulate their response. Incredibly specific, you know, the length of the silk relative to the species of the predator, in aquatic lotic systems you have naiads changing their position in the horizon, the water horizons, and there are a number of cases where it behooves the prey to not overcompensate for the threat, and so yeah, we see evidence of this with my particular animal. Not so much. Their approach is to drop down on the silk, and it doesn't seem to. I've seen some differences. Well, like the wasp, they're just quick to hop off. But other things, they're more slow stalkers. They often get caught, but sometimes wiggle away. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be specific to the predation threat.
We probably just do one more, so we can let people know if they want.
So Sean, in a perhaps even greater context, can you say anything about predator identity and sort of fear factor, and whether or not that might ultimately play a role? Other identity meaning either foraging style, something like versus more active, or just sort of intimidation, like a giant red beaver versus a sort of a wussy cockatoo.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. This I didn't present it here, but I have a rather involved table that examines complementarity among these different assemblages. I don't think, based on my data, I don't think I have a strong species identity effect. Both the wasp and the lady beetle produced the strongest fear effect, if you will, in the caterpillars. But the indirect effect of that, it doesn't necessarily correspond to that effect size. And so, yeah, if I understand what you mean, the identity effect. Are you just talking about hunting the domain and hunting strategy?
Who the players are basically in the system, which actually could extend beyond those which you use. I could see
Right. Perhaps
an identity effect being really strong in certain systems, but not so strong in others, depending on who the players are.
Absolutely. And that's something that I think that you'd have to be careful about when constructing your experiment, that you don't have just one